In the midst of all my pain, on the summit of anger and rage, under the depths of my worries, in the center of my greatest fear, at the midpoint of my fall, on the bosom of my conflict, the interior of my crumbling home, in the nucleus of my shame and regret, I wanna be calm, composed, and feel your presence in my soul. I wanna be motionless and allow your spirit to move. I wanna be peaceful and permit you, Lord, to have your way. I wanna be peaceful and permit your power to fight for me. In the jail of my mind, bound with the chains of despair, in the den of my distress, facing the horror of my imaginations, at the verge of losing hope, when I have nothing left to hold, that's when I can look up to you and know that you're a present help. I wanna be calm, composed, I wanna be motionless and allow your spirit to move. I wanna be peaceful and permit you, Lord, to have your way. I wanna be peaceful and permit your power to fight for me. Lord, I am tired of my own battles. I'm tired of trying hard. Lord, teach me to wait and to trust in you. Teach me to rest in your word. And allow your spirit to move. I wanna be peaceful and permit you, Lord, to have your way. I wanna be peaceful and permit your power to fight for me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was watching Joseph. He was fascinated. My son, he was just looking. And when she finished, he just started clapping. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful song. Let's sing that song. I don't know why Jesus loves me. Amen.
I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why. Redemption story.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
When he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad I'm so glad. I don't know why. Do you know why? I don't know why. I may never in this life. I don't know. love me, where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. You know why you love me. I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why, I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
Amen. Take me past the outer courts to that holy place, past the praising altar. Don't you want to go? Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by the hustle and bustle, Lord, and the priest. Oh, the priest who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst, only hunger for you, Jesus. And it's only by in your presence, Lord. Take me into the holies of holies. Take me, Jesus. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Don't be left behind this morning. Hallelujah. Take me into the holies of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Oh, take the coal this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. One more time. Let's go in tonight, today. Take me past the outer courts into that holy place, past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by, and the priest who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in the Shekinah glory. Oh, take me to the home. Take me, Lord. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Take me, Jesus. Take me to the holies of holies. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, take the coal. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal, Jesus, this morning. Hallelujah. Take the coal. Cleanse my lips, here I am. Before the doors close, we enter in this morning to the temple, to that holy temple. Give thanks to the ancient of days, to our name, for his mercies unto us. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the ancient. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shout, holy people. How excellent is thy name. Praise his name. This morning, give thanks to the ancient of days. We give you thanks. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient of days. We give thanks to the ancient of days. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. Give thanks to the age. Oh, give thanks. us to the edge.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I want to die to my will. Be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you. And all I want to say is your face. Oh, thine will be done. Thy will, Lord, be done in my life. Oh, not my will, but thine. Thine be done, Lord, be done in my. Oh, when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's great. Oh, it's always present, God's present. I'm a blessing. I must decrease, he must increase. The power remains there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. Your bride's no longer amiss.
Oh, we are his bride this morning. Hallelujah.
I will be.
I will, Lord. Oh.
Again today, saints, in Jesus' name. It's good to be in his house. Quite a number of visitors. We really do want to welcome them today. Sister Msumange, God bless you. Nice to be with you, sister. May the Lord bless you. Glad that you're with us for a season. We have Sister Pretty from England. God bless you, sister. Sister Jemima from Switzerland. God bless you, sister. Then we have Sister Agnieszka and her mum from Poland. That's a sister we spoke on the phone. God bless you, sister. Amen. And one prayer request. Let's remember Brother Vlad. He's working this morning, not able to make it. Let's bow our heads, saints, for prayer. If you have a need before the Lord today, why don't you raise your hand? Put your heart before him. Father, we bring in ourselves unto thee upon this day. Even as we've been singing, just one thing we desire. Thy will to be done in our lives, Lord. Let all that is human, Father, let all that is of man pass away. And Father, let your will be done upon this day. Father, it's the desire of our hearts. It's our desire before thee at this time. Father, we'd come to lay ourselves upon the altar to thank you that you've given us another chance to serve and to worship thee, Lord, this side of eternity, Lord. And Father, how we'd long to make full use of this opportunity that you've given unto us. And Father, we're looking unto Thee. Father, we need Your grace upon this day. Father, every request that we have, we bring it up unto Thee. Be it Brother Vlad, Lord, we pray. Bless him at work upon this day. Strengthen him. Watch over him and protect him, Lord. Father, the visitors in our gates, Lord. Father, visit their souls, we pray. Father, bless them. Lord, in Your presence, we'd ask Him. As we open up Your word, we need Thee upon this day. How we need Your grace. How we want to fellowship with Thee. Thank You for all that has been said and done upon this day. Thank You for the item that was sung. Thank You for the Sunday school that we had. Thank You for the worship of Your people. Now, Father, we want to enter in. Father, we want to go deeper. Father, we long to go further. We long that You'd raise us higher. Father, we can never be satisfied staying in the same condition that we are. Because, Lord, the deep is calling unto the deep. So raise us up, Lord, Father, as we set our arms upon this day. Let us rise up on wings as an eagle, Lord, as we wait upon Thee, Lord. Father, we've come to sit at Your feet. We've come to glorify Thy name. Bless Your people gathering in like manner, Father, to the north, south, east, and west. Be with Your people upon this day. Thank You for the sure promises of Your word. Lord, we wait upon Thee now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open our Bible, saints. Excuse me, to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Let's read Revelation chapter 4, just verse 1. Just to give us a bit of a thought. And then we look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 4, verse 1. This is John at the end of the church ages. We know Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 are the seven churches, the message to the seven churches. So by the time we get to Revelation chapter 4, it's the end of Laodicea. Amen. So chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So that's God's grace. Now, God doesn't want His sons and His daughters, His children, to be taken unawares by anything. You know, so when it came to the end of the church ages, to this most difficult and treacherous of days, but the most glorious of times is the day that we're living in. The Lord said to John, come up higher. I must show you the things that are to be hereafter. And then the chapters to come, He starts to unveil and to show him the trumpets, what happens to the Jews, and He shows what happens to the Gentiles, and He shows the tribulation period and all those kind of things. So obviously those are important things, showing in great detail things to be hereafter. Let's look in Revelation 22, verse 8. This is at the end of it all, when it's all revealed to him by the angel. And it was such a powerful thing to him. He says in verse 8, Revelation 22, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I'd heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them, excuse me, which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So what had been sealed and what had been hidden, because the time is at hand, it's got to be made known. So if the Lord hides something, there's a purpose for hiding it. And when He reveals something, there's a purpose that He reveals it. You know, God doesn't just do things for the sake of doing them. When there's a need, He's made a provision, He's stored up for His people. And just at the season when the people need it, He unseals those things to His people. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated, saints. So John is shown things that must be hereafter. Now, where I got onto this particular kind of thought is we had some questions where saints were asking different things about signs in the skies. We saw last week the last of those blood moons. You know, we woke up early Monday morning, we saw it. It was quite an ominous sight. And just at that time, you find the Pope is in America and all the different things taking place. I'll show you a few slides just in a few seconds here, just to show the point. And then we've just come to the end of the seven-year cycle once again, you know, which refers to the economies of the world. And a lot has taken place there. And then we see now Russia going into Syria, you know, Gog and Magog. We start to see these kind of things, so many things, the mechanics being put in place. We see so many things maybe in formative stages. You know, because if God's going to work, He's going to start preparing things beforehand. You know, God's going to send people, send messengers, send His word. Because God has to do a work of preparation first. I send you Elijah the prophet to prepare a people unto the coming of the Lord. So Satan does his things as well. He prepares his things. And when things are going on, God always gives warnings. You know, the greatest sign that God sends is a prophet. Because a prophet is a true sign that's overlooked. We know that. So when you see a prophet on the scene, we've said it many times, the prophet taught it, it's a real judgment sign. It's a sign that something is on the way. But God still continues to show things in the heaven. He shows things upon the earth. But so many of these things, as we'll see, like when the disciples came to Jesus that time and said, Master, we thought that Elijah was first supposed to come. Remember, and Jesus said, He's come. He's done His work, but you knew it not. There's so many things that take place, especially as you get near to the end. There's so many things being fulfilled that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. There's so many things falling into place and so many modern events which have been made clear by prophecy, but you don't realize that these modern events are actually fulfilling prophecy. Amen. You know, that unless it's pointed out to us once in a while and we look at the big picture of things and try to fit things together, it's very easy for us just to let the newspapers pass us by, the events take place. Maybe some of them are epic events. Amen. Some of these things maybe are such important events in the prophetic calendar, but because we're busy in college, we spend a lot of time on Facebook, we do all of these kind of things. You know, we don't realize just how late the hour is. And I'm sure you don't want to be in that condition that you get to the end and you're saying to the Lord, but Lord, we thought all of these things were supposed to take place before the rapture. Then He says to you, but they've already taken place, but you didn't know it. You don't want to be found in that kind of a condition. You know, so we desire, just as much as the Lord showed to John, things that must be hereafter. And then unveiled this entire program of God to John. John, at the end of the whole book of Revelation, once it's been unsealed and unveiled to him, it was such a powerful thing to him. Because he now understood the big picture. Now that's a really important thing, to understand the big picture. And with these questions we had and different things, I was trying to see, what's the best way to address these things? Then I thought, okay, let's look at the big picture again. Because each of these things that are taking place fits into a big picture. Listen how the prophet says it in the message when he speaks about God's word, Questions and Answers, 1959. He says, the scripture is something like unto a jigsaw puzzle. He says, it's all broke up and just mixed up in a box. So if you wanted to make a real masterpiece of a jigsaw puzzle, you know, all those pieces, every one of them is important. Every one of them has only one place that it can fit. And every one of those pieces, it's important to know where it goes. But the only way you can know, he says, it's all broken up and just mixed up in a box. And it takes the Holy Spirit to place that together. So to place the picture together, the prophetic picture, it really needs the message of the hour. That's what it's going to need. Then in the message, Hear Ye Him, 1958, he says, putting it together. You have to have the Holy Spirit to put it together. Just like on the jigsaw puzzle. You get the picture to one side and you look at the picture. And then place it according to the way the picture looks. So the only way you'll ever be able to do a complicated jigsaw puzzle is to have the picture. The full picture. And once you got the full picture, when you're finding all these seemingly unrelated pieces, you may look at a piece and say, but where does this piece go? It's got a little bit of blue on the side, a little bit of green on this side. If you look in the big picture, you're going to find out where about you're going to place that together. And the more pieces you start to put together, the more clear it becomes and the easier it becomes to put more and more of those pieces in the jigsaw puzzle. And that's the way that it works with prophecy. There's so many pieces taking place every day around us. We don't realize it. Now, if you keep your eyes on prophecy, you keep yourself in the message of the hour, then you look at what's taking place in the world. Everything has a purpose. Everything that's taken place has a place that it fits. There's a reason everything is taking place. But if you don't know the big picture, if you don't get yourself from the spirit of the composer, you'll just think these are just things that have always taken place. You'll just hear of this and you'll let it pass you by. Hear of something else. You won't see the significance. But you don't want to be like that in this kind of a time. You know, you want to spend as much time as you can under the anointing of the eagle, the great prophetic anointing. You want to spend as much time as you can in that place, because we'll see it as we go through today. Now, God has done mighty things for us. He's stored up things for us because of the lateness of the hour. But God has a certain way that he wants us to approach these things as well. Now, so we've got to have an interest in these things. The prophet says about the symphony, he says, to a person who's not interested, it's just a lot of racket. You know, you have some drums beating over there, then some cymbals are clashing over here, then some people are playing the violin, and then that goes quiet for a season, and then some other part of the orchestra starts to play. But for a person who knows what it means, the prophet says he'll be looking for something, you'll be waiting. Because you know it's building up to a climax. All of these things. There was a great something in the mind of the composer. A certain inspiration. A certain thing that he's trying to put across to people. But if you don't get into the spirit of it. And friends, this is a very easy age to not get in the spirit of the message. Because there's so many other things to keep us busy. There's so much pressure in life, pressure on finances, pressure on time. It's far better in Africa. Where you don't have all these pressures the way that we do here. And people have to travel and all the different things that take place. And friends, it's the enemy. It's the work of the enemy. And you don't want to let the enemy take your time to such an extent that you're not redeeming the time. Because Jesus said that redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's why fellowship is so important. Your own time in the closet, your own time in the Word is so important. The busier you become, the more you need the presence of the Lord. That's the way that it works, but we end up putting other things in the way. So let me just show you a few slides here just to start off. Just to show some things that if you don't really know what's going on, they will seem to be just events that just took place. But as we see, as we go through this, looking at this big picture, we'll find everything we're going to show here is very significant. And it has a very significant part in prophecy. But you'll notice it from the scriptures we read. Without the message, you'll never understand these things. You'll never be able to, because the message is God's divine resource at the end time. The prophet never focused on the entire scripture. There's a lot of chapters, a lot of books in the Bible the prophet never hardly mentioned. He hardly ever mentioned the book of Nehemiah. You know, but there's a lot of scriptures and places in here where he focused all the time. Like the life of Abraham, you'll find it. All those kind of things. You'll find, you know, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find there's certain places that whenever the prophet got under the anointing would pull him to these places. Because that's the places which refer to the day that we're living in. That's the place, that's the anointing that we need to understand and to overcome in the age that we're living in. You know, so there's so many different things we could read in the Bible, but God sends the messenger to the age to put the anointing, the emphasis on those places in the scripture that are important for that age. Amen. And that's why we can listen to a whole lot of other people, and friends, they can say a lot of interesting things, but it's not important. Amen. They can say a lot of noise, they can fill a lot of books, they can put a lot of things on YouTube, but when you watch it all, it does nothing for you. It doesn't quicken you to the rapture. Doesn't give you an anointing to overcome the conditions of the age. But you get into the message of the hour. You put those tapes on. You get yourself under the blood. Get yourself in the presence of God. And see what it does for you. You will live a life in this age that denominational people know nothing about. You will have an overcoming power that it's not available to them. Because it's all under the anointing of the eagle. It's all under this great unveiling that is made in this age. So that is why it's so important that everything we do to use the thinking man's filter. No, to use the message of the hour. If you see anything and you think this might be interesting, filter it through the message. See if it still comes out the other side. If it doesn't come out the other side, it's not important. That may have been interesting, but it's not important. Because the things which we need, the things we require for this age, you're going to find them in the books and tapes. Because all the bride needs is in the books and tapes. Now what do the books and tapes do? They bring us back to those portions of the scripture which are important for us in this age. And when the anointing comes upon those parts of the word, it becomes the sword of the spirit. It becomes the whole armor of God to help us to overcome in this age. And as things come closer and closer to our climax, you're going to need these things more and more. So looking at this big picture, The first thing that just happened 3 weeks ago is we finished this latest 7-year cycle. And people said to me, and I laughed when I heard this, people say, nothing happened in this 7-year cycle. Friends, stop reading Facebook. That's what I say to those kinds of people. Stop reading other things. Go and see what's taken place. This was an epic year, this one that just went by. I'll just show you a few things. But we'll get into it in detail by the grace of God when we get on to what this is referring to. But look at this. This is the stock market, yeah? And there's the 6 years since the last 7th-year cycle. And look what happened in the 7th year. That's the change every year. So we saw every year the stock market was going up by that amount of points. The moment you got into the 7th year, look, it went down a huge amount during the year. But if you weren't watching for it, if you're looking for something else, you say. And the reason I saw people missed it, everyone thought on that last day, surely, but how can it be on the last day? The last day was a Sunday this year. And the stock markets aren't even open on a Sunday. You know, but you're looking at this pattern that's taken place. The last 7 of these cycles, in the 7th year, the stock markets have gone down. And many times it follows into the next year. What about this? Here's the American stock market. Look at it going from August. Just as we came to the end, look what goes down. It lost a huge amount of value. That was hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars on that stock market we lost just in the last few weeks. What about China? One of the biggest things we'll see. Look at the Chinese stock market going up November, December. It gets to June, July, just coming to the end of that cycle. And look how it collapsed. A massive collapse in the Chinese economy, which is the growth economy in the world. All the rest of the economies in the world are depending on China. Amen. Because China's the one that's fueling this economy still to keep moving, and all the rest of the economies have stalled. But there was a massive crash there. That's right. I'll show you that as we go. In fact, in the Chinese economy, 1, 2, 3 of the biggest 6 crashes in history took place in this last few months. You know, as you can see, that there are so many things taking place in this cycle. Until if you look in Wikipedia, 2015 Chinese stock market crash. They speak of the effects. Now listen to what it says. The Guardian newspaper compared the pattern of losses during China's Black Monday to the Wall Street crash of 1929. Amen. Hey. Now, if you were so busy with other things in life that you didn't know what was going on, be careful. Amen. Because you don't understand, things are taking place all around you. Amen. And every one of these things has a significance, as we'll see. And then they had 2 great crashes. I think it was called Black Monday, where the Chinese stock market crashed so much until the Chinese government had to intervene and stop trading. And then they thought that was okay. Then the next day, that Black Tuesday even went worse and it crashed. And at that time, the American stock market, that day, 24th of August, it crashed the biggest loss ever in a day. Remember we saw that last time after September the 11th. It crashed 777.7% on a day. It crashed 1,000 points. Amen. That's when people said to me, nothing happened in this last thing. I said, where were people looking? You know? So much took place in this year. But everyone was looking at that last day, which was a Sunday, saying we're waiting for the whole thing to collapse. It can't collapse. It's not yet time for the whole economy to collapse. If you don't understand the big picture, you'll get yourself lost. You'll try to take a little piece of the jigsaw puzzle that doesn't fit here, and you'll try to fit it somewhere else. You've got to understand how it all fits together. That's going to crash in the tribulation period. When we preached and we took a lot of time with the life of Joseph, and we showed that Joseph, the famine started to set in, remember, when Joseph hadn't yet revealed himself to his brethren. Now Jesus, our great Joseph, hasn't yet revealed himself to his brethren. Then Joseph dismissed his wife to the palace. Yeah, and then he revealed himself to his brethren. Then money failed. Remember we looked at all those scriptures. I thought we'd made it clear at that time. The real collapse comes when Joseph has already made himself known to his brethren. When they see this great Gentile, Zaphnath Pioneer, who they think is a Gentile, they find out this is the one that they threw into the ditch. And that's going to be in the tribulation period when Christ reveals himself to his brethren. And then the beast now, the economy of the beast, will be the great collapse that's going to come. But friends, we couldn't have it now. It doesn't fit in with the big jigsaw puzzle. These are birth pains. Remember we spoke of it so many times. These are birth pains. These are flashing red lights of His coming. These are warning signs, signs of judgment. But this isn't the fullness yet, because the fullness can't happen when the bride is still here. As long as the bride is still here, the fullness of judgment can't take place. Because He cannot judge through the blood. How many times did we say it in those days? He can't visit judgment through the blood. And the bride, the token bride, is the representation of the blood on earth. So as long as the bride is still here, judgment will come in measure. But it's never able to be poured out in its fullness. He's got to take the blood off the earth, the bride, with the Holy Ghost. And then judgment can start to fall. But He can't judge fully until He's first revealed Himself to His brethren. You know, so we looked at all those things. I went back in my notes from 2 years ago. And I went back and said, did I mislead people here? But I did it. We spoke of these things, especially the life of Joseph and all those things so many times. And those things are still on the website. If you want to go and check those things out, you will see that nothing is out of order. Amen. Everything's working just according to the great prophetic timetable, the way that it's supposed to go. Amen. This is now what happens. We get right to the time when you get into the end of this cycle, and look at the American stock market, what it starts to do. It lost a huge value. And friends, that may not stop. Because many times that effect can keep on going and going. These are birth pains, friends. But it doesn't fail. No, these cycles haven't failed for such a season. And to us as message believers, it's just another flashing red light. It's just something signifying. The prophet told us, America's finished. The world is finished. The world is falling apart. All these things that he preached back there. And these are the birth pains. We see them coming on a regular cycle there to warn us that, hey, these things are going to collapse. That's all according to prophecy. Then we looked at the blood moons. And now we've just had last week on Monday, Sunday night, we had the last of these blood moons. And what happened then? We found the Pope in America. And when the prophet put the blood moons, it's in a black and white picture in the Church Age book, that was when the Pope went to Jerusalem. Now at the first of these blood moons, the Pope went to Israel. And exactly at the time of the last of the blood moons, the Pope goes to America. These are all significant things once we look at the big picture. But if you don't understand the big picture, you won't understand what these things mean. You'll just think, oh, well, the Pope went to America. What does that mean? Friends, that's a very significant sign. Especially when Israel, when Netanyahu went to America, Obama didn't want him to address Congress. Remember, there was a big fuss. And Obama had to be invited by the leaders of Congress. And Obama didn't even go along to that session. But when the Pope went this time now, Obama went and met the man at the airport. It's only the second time it's ever been done. And then he takes him and he invites the Pope to come and address both houses of Congress. The first time that's ever happened in America. That the Pope comes and addresses the whole of the government of America. And he went there for 6 days. We know all the different symbolic things that took place. Friends, that was a very significant sign. So these once again are flashing red lights. These are things that are telling us it's later than you think. It's later than you think. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said. But we're not trying to interpret these things outside of the message of the hour. Every one of these things, we'll find them in the message. We're going to find the Vatican. We're going to find Israel. We're going to find America. And we're going to find Russia. Because just this week was the Feast of Tabernacles. And remember when we taught on the blood moons, we said the Jews during the Feast of Tabernacles, what scripture do they read? Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog. And what happens last week? Russia moves into Syria. The king of the north comes right down to the mountains of Israel. Oh, friends. Look at the scripture, Ezekiel 38. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog. That's Russia. The chief prince of Meshach, that's Moscow. And Tubal, Tobolsk. Those are places in Russia. And prophesy against him. And who will he be with? Persia, amen. Iran, amen. Ethiopia, Libya, all the Muslim countries. The next chapter. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog. I will turn thee back and leave this, but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So this God, Russia's God had come into Israel, the battle of Gog and Magog, to the mountains of Israel. What happens last week? Russia is seen building up two more military facilities in Syria. And who are they dealing with? Iranian troops prepared to aid Russia with Syrian ground assault. And this is literally just miles from the border of Israel. When you go to Israel, there's the north is Mount Hermon. That's the mount, the Golan Heights. And the Russian troops are literally just miles away from the mountains of Israel. It's not yet time for them to do it because it's only going to be in the tribulation period. But it's a warning sign. It's a flashing red light. It's the first time since 1941 that Russia's been in the Middle East. Since 1941. Russia's never sent its military into the Middle East since the Second World War. And friends, that's part of the big picture. All of these things are these little pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that are starting to fall into place. But if you don't know the big picture, like I say, which is in the message of the hour, you look at these things and just say, well, you know, Russia sent its troops into Syria. What does that mean? It's very significant, these things, when they take place. So here's our big picture, which we'll have a look at some of the things today. But the first thing we want to see is the ministry of the bride. What are we looking for next? What must come hereafter? What are we really looking for to happen? So in order for us to have the right expectation, remember in the days when Jesus resurrected and he was on the way to Emmaus, those disciples were looking for the wrong things. Remember, they were so disappointed and they were discouraged. And then Jesus drew near and says, but why are you sad in the things that you're speaking about? And they said, but we thought this and that and the other was supposed to take place. And he said, you fools and slow of heart to understand all that the prophet said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And starting with Moses and going through the Psalms and so forth, he expounded to them all the scriptures pertaining unto himself. And then their hearts started to burn within them because they realized, but no, everything's working out just fine. This is exactly the way that the prophetic word says that it must be. Nothing was out of, in their minds it was out of place. But to him, the word made flesh, Jesus himself, he knew everything is just the way that it should be. And friends, that's the way that it is as well. And that's how we want to be in that spirit of the Son of Man. We want to be in that place where whatever we see it through the lens of the ministry of the Son of Man. Because everything's falling just into place. And so this will show us, what are we to expect as the bride? What are we looking for next? Are we looking for the economies to collapse? Is that what we're looking for? What are we looking for? Are we looking for Israel to invade Russia, Russia to invade Israel? No. What are we looking for? We've got to know what to expect. We've got to know what the word says we must be looking for next. That's what we want to look at today. So it's the ministry of the bride. Then comes the earthquake. Because the sixth seal, the tribulation, starts off with, there was a great earthquake. And Los Angeles has to sink. And when Jesus at the end of his ministry was on the cross, there was the great earthquake. And then there was the resurrection. And then they were caught up in the rapture, went up with him from paradise up beyond the curtain of time. So there's got to be the earthquake. So that's a pivotal event in this economy now. The other side of the earthquake, rapture. It's at the same time, the same season, these things take place. What happens before then? The image unto the beast. The World Council of Churches. We'll see how many times the prophet tells us to watch that council. When they put on the squeeze, we'll see how many times he says, watch out. When they start to tighten up. And we're already seeing it beginning, aren't we? With America speaking like the dragon now. And we see the laws that are being passed, but we haven't yet seen the World Council of Churches flex their muscles. Amen. Therefore, that's something which we've got to be looking for. Because the prophet's going to show us that. So there's going to come a squeeze, and there's going to be the final ministration of the bride bringing about the rapture. Then comes the collapse. Once the bride has gone, this is now what the seventh year cycles are speaking about. They're all forerunners of the great collapse. But the collapse only comes the other side of the rapture. And that's when the beast is revealed now. When Satan is cast out, when the bride goes up, the prophet says Satan is cast out. And he now comes and incarnates that false prophet Francis, the false prophet of Rome. Goes and incarnates that man, and he gets the heart of a beast, and now he exercises all of the authority which they had in the ages gone by. And he brings about a persecution. And that's in the Great Tribulation now. And then we have Gog and Magog, which is Russia. It's got to come against Israel, leading up to Armageddon, which is the ending of all things. But these are all the other sides. So we're going to have Russia, we're going to have the Vatican, we're going to have Israel. Those are the big players at the end. America is going to be a smoking ruin. It's going to be destroyed in this cycle here and the things that shall be hereafter. It's not even going to be a player at the end. And all the time, what's happening? The bride is at the wedding supper. And then come back with the Lord after the Battle of Armageddon, and there's a millennial reign. So these are the things that shall be hereafter. And if you place these things, it helps us to place everything else. Because then we know exactly when to be looking for certain things. But what you wanted to look at today, let's look at this part of things here. Let's look at our portion, because that's the most important thing. Let's look at our ministry. What should we be looking forward to? What should be our expectation? What should be our prayer? Because it's already in process. We're already in the rapture cycle. The shout has already gone forth. We're feeding upon the shout. We're living under the influence and the effects of the shout. But that shout went out for a purpose. Listen to what they asked the prophet in the questions on the seals. Will the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Now this is an important thing if you can spend a bit of time on it. He says, sure. That's what's going on right now. Certainly, it's the message of the hour. The bride of Christ, sure. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. So there's going to be a cycle like we're in now. It's going to be the fivefold ministry under the anointing of the eagle. It's going to be the ministry of the bride. We're going to have Mark 16, the healing of the sick, the casting out of evil spirits, so forth. God's going to be moving with his people, but it's building up towards something. It doesn't just continue like this right to the end, friends. He says, that's right, it's the ministry of the hour. It'll be so humble. So there's going to be a season where the ministry of the bride is going to be real humble. There's going to be revival in certain places. There's going to be certain things taking place. There's going to be cycles of things moving, coming and going. But it's all leading onto something. And the thing that it's leading onto is it's leading onto the third pull. The fullness of the ministry of the bride. But in order to understand that, we all already are under the third pull. We already are. Ever since the prophet was here, the third pull's been here. But I just wanted to show this. We've spoken of it once again. But to understand the third pull, to understand the ministry of the bride, we've got to look at how it's unfolded itself. Just as much as if you speak about the rapture's not just one thing. The rapture's three things in one. There's a shout, a voice, and a trump. The prophet says that makes up the cycle of the rapture. Same with the third pull. The third pull's not just one thing. It's three. It's a threefold unveiling of the third pull. And we are now living under a certain portion of that, and we're waiting for the final portion of it. You know, so we are under the third pull, but we're waiting for the fullness of the third pull, the full manifestation of the third pull. Now, this quote, we've read it many times because it's one you can't speak about this without taking what the prophet said and look away to Jesus. He says, now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. He says, the thing we have looked forward to for so long, at least 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, the third pull has now been vindicated. I'm sure you know what it is. So the prophet was sent to vindicate the third pull. Listen to how he explains it. He says, now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of this. Cannot be. Right at this time now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you. And that presence has never left. It just depends on how deep that presence gets. Because to bring the fullness of the third pull needs the super anointing. There's the anointing of the eagle and then there's the super anointing. When that anointing becomes so intense, it breaks into another level of manifestation. But we already have the third pull. It's already with us. It's already in you. Every time you're feeding on the message of the hour, the spoken word, you're feeding on the spoken word. Amen. And what is the third pull? It's the spoken word. Amen. But the spoken word was first in the prophet. Then the Lord says, I've got to get the spoken word from my prophet into his bride. Into the bride. So how did he do it? That's what he's going to show us here. There had to be a transfer and take him the spoken word. The prophet identifies it. But the spoken word needs to get into us. And it is in us. And we'll see that as we go. He says, right at this time it's happened so it could identify its presence among you. This is 1963, 29th of December. Look away to Jesus. But it'll not be used in a great way. Until this council begins to tighten up. Because friends, God sends things for a purpose. He doesn't send things just for us to play with them. He has a provision for his people. Now, if you get in a squeeze in your life, expect to see the third pull. Expect to see the third pull. When the devil puts you in a squeeze, whenever you get into a corner situation that you can go no further, you have every right to expect the third pull. And you've seen it many times. It's when he comes on the scene and does things that you can't do. Friends, that's what the third pull is. It's when he comes on the scene. When Joshua needed some more daylight, he says, sun, stand still. Many times you've spoken and the sun has stopped. The Son of Man. How many times where you needed, you couldn't go any further yourself, and you spoke and he stood still. And he ministered back into your situation. Friends, but sometimes we underestimate what he's already done for us. What he's already doing for us. But how many times have you spoken and you've stopped the sun? The prophet says it, Brother George sings it, Bartimaeus. He spoke and the sun stood still. The Son of Man stood still. Ah, friends, I'm so glad for all the times that he's quickened me in my prayer. That it wasn't me praying, it was him praying. And I spoke to the sun and the sun stood still. That's the third pull, friends. It can go far deeper and far further. And friends, once you've tasted of his goodness, you want it to go deeper. You want it to go further. You'll never be satisfied because these are eternal things. He says, but it will not be used in a great way. So the global manifestation of the third pull, where he comes down with that super anointing upon his entire bride at the same time, the final quickening to the rapture, that hasn't happened yet. Because it hasn't needed to happen yet. Because that brings about the rapture. That's what brings about, he says, that'll bring that final quickening. So just when the things are going to get so tight and Satan thinks he's got us, God's already made his provision. Just as much as an individual, when he thinks he's got you in a corner, when he's got you on the ash heap like Job, and you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, and something comes down from above and strikes your soul, and you stand up, and the thunders roar and the lightning flashes, and you say, I know my Redeemer lives. That's the third pull, friends. That's the same thing. But it'll happen to you as an individual, but there's coming a time it's going to happen to everyone at the same time. Because there's going to be a squeeze on the entire bride. So you can see it has to unfold itself to that. The prophet says, but when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily manifest in the fullness of its power. So he's always saying it when the squeeze comes down. There's a certain something that's going to trigger that into full manifestation. He says in paragraph 49, it's tightening. And we can see that it's tightening now. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place where you pressed out. Hey, when the press comes to a place that we pressed out. Friends, don't you start feeling like that already in this world. He says, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then. It will be absolutely to the total lost. So there's coming a portion of time around the time of the earthquake We let him that's filthy be filthy still. That the bride is still going to be here. We know it. There's going to be a short space of time where the bride is going to be here. Like when the ark door was closed, but the rain hadn't yet come. With those that are in are in and those that are out are out. Amen. We'll see that as we go. Amen. Now, so this is the unfolding. He says the third pool's already identified itself. It identified itself through the prophet back here. And he says it's the calming of the storm. It was the tumor. It was the squirrels and all those things. Sister Hattie, right? Those five times the third pool was identified. The prophet says so that it could show its presence amongst us. It's him, friends. He's the third pool. It's like when we speak about the resurrection. The resurrection isn't an event. It's a person. I am the resurrection and the life. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's the Logos himself. He is the resurrection. He is the third pool. That's what he is. He's the word. And he just wants to manifest himself. Now, when you get now a little bit further now to 1963, the prophet speaking about the third pool when he preaches the seventh seal, he's up in Sabino Canyon and he says, I stuck my hands out. And all at once, something hit my hand. Did I go to sleep? Did I go into a trance? I don't know. What was it, a vision? It struck my hand and I looked. It was a sword. It had pearl handles, real pretty. A guard over it with gold. The blade looked like chrome, like silver, real shiny. Feather edge sharp. I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? It just fitted my hand. Who was there? The king was there. Because his sword was there. Therefore the king was there. Because his sword was there. Just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks said, it's the sword of the king. I said, this, a sword of a king? It says, no, the sword of the king. There's only one the king and that's God. And he only has one sword and that's his word that I live by. Now this is just when the prophet's being told, go and preach on the seals. So he's given the king's sword. And then he says, do you see the mystery and the secret? Something hit and said, don't fear. This is that third pull. So he's told us 1959, 1960, Sister Hattie's house, that was the third pull. Identifying itself. Then you get to the time now that he's coming to break open the word, the unveiling of the word, the seals. He receives the king's sword, he's commissioned, and he says, this is the third pull. It's not a contradiction. It's the third pull moving from one phase into the other. So instead of just being the spoken word and the prophet, it's now going to come into the message. It's going to come into the unveiled word. That's what it's coming into. In questions and answers on the seals, he says, don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian. You'll take yourself away from God. If you understand it, this is that third pull. So the seals, the unveiling of the word, the message of the hour. He says the living bread. Yeah, the shout, the living bread to gather the bride on earth. He says this is the third pull. Look in Revelation 10. I'll just show you this in verse 1. Just again, familiar scriptures, but maybe just looking at it in another kind of a way. Revelation 10 verse 1. Because this is the scripture the prophet uses at the opening of the seals. What happens? Verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. That's the king. Amen. And he's coming with his sword. That's Christ, the covenant angel. Clothed with a cloud. There was the cloud. And a rainbow upon his head, the covenant. His face was as it were sun, his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Amen. So the prophet's kneeling in prayer and he's given the king's sword. Okay? That is symbolic. Amen. What does it mean? He comes now to preach and the book is open. Amen. He brings the seal. Amen. So the king's sword and the open book are the same thing. It's the word. Amen. And the mighty angel, the king is coming down with his sword. Amen. And he's giving it to the seventh angel. It's the same thing that happened in Sabino Canyon, but it's a symbol there. This is the reality of what that symbol represented. The angel comes down and there's the little book open. And what does he do? Verse 3, he cries with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and seven thunders utter their voice. So John is commissioned to write everything down that he hears. So he's going to write down, oh, where's my scroll? Where's my ink, my pen? And then the voice says, verse 4, when the seven thunders had uttered, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things. So in the symbol, when the king comes down with his sword, he's going to give it to John, but it's not for John.
Amen.
He's told, seal it with seven seals.
Amen.
Seven thunders, seal it up.
Amen.
So he seals it up. But in reality, in our age, when the angel comes down in his fullness, he's told, don't seal the book. Unseal those seven seals that are upon the book. That which those thunders said. You'll find it in the church age book. When the prophet says those seven thunders are the mysteries contained in the seven seals. So that unveiling of those seals was, what were those thunders actually saying? That is what it was inside of there. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, there's the shout now. When that goes forth, so the king's come down, given him his sword. He comes, there's the unsealed book, there's the open book. The mystery goes forth, the shout goes forth. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice didn't stop there though. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go and take the little book.
Amen.
So John is told now, there's the third pull.
Amen.
In the king's sword. The third pull in the hands of now the seventh angel. That's the message. Now what is your commission, John? As this mystery of the third pull goes into the next stage, you're going to have to eat the third pull.
Amen.
You eat the book.
Amen.
So that's what the stage of the third pull we're in now.
Amen.
We're eating the third pull.
Amen.
We're eating the third pull. A problem comes in your life, it's a manifestation.
Amen.
Then you eat some more, you eat some more, you eat some more. Then something comes, it's a manifestation.
Amen.
But it won't happen in any great way until the time that it's required in a great way. Like that. It'll be great to you as an individual, what God does for you. But it's not great maybe in the way that we think that it's great. Then he says, and I went unto the angel, verse 9, and said, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Shall make thy belly bitter and thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I'd eaten, my belly was bitter. And that was his final commission. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again. Unto men and peoples and nations and tongues and tribes. That's the ministry of the bride. We are to prophesy. But you can see now the third pull went from being the spoken word manifesting in that way. It was still the spoken word. When the prophet came under that anointing, he says, those revelations in the presence of the ball of fire. When he started to preach now the message, it was still the spoken word.
Amen.
It was the king's sword, but it's just in another form. It wasn't to bring forth squirrels and so forth. It was to bring forth the bride.
Amen.
That's what it had to do. There was nothing before 1963 to bring forth the bride. It took now the message, the breaking of the seals. It took those things. And that was now the third pull. The prophet says, those rainbow trout, remember he says, the first pull did nothing. Second pull attracted the fish. He says, but it was the third pull that attracted and caught the rainbow trout. That's what it was. It's the king's sword. It's the open word. It's the spoken word. That's what it was in that form. So we've got that second phase of the third pull, which is a phase we're in now, the ministry of the bride in this form, where there's prophets and evangelists and teachers and so forth. You know, and we're feeding upon the third pull word. And you're getting anointed whenever you need it. You can speak and things take place. You speak to him, you speak to your situation. But it's all a continuation of the same ministry.
Amen.
Until finally, we get to the final part, which is just at the rapture. Where now he says, when the squeeze comes down, watch the third pull then.
Amen.
It's going to do something mighty.
Amen.
You see, can you understand why I'm saying about the third pull? It's going from the prophet into the bride.
Amen.
That's why the process had to go through the unveiling of the word, the hidden manna. That's what it is. It's the living bread of life. Now listen what he says in What Shall We Do With This Jesus Called Christ, 1964. He's taken the ministry of Jesus at the end when he was rejected. When there was a uniting time, when the Pharisees and scribes came together and united with Rome. So the denominations united with Rome. It's exactly the same as in our age. We'll see it. The denominations will unite with Rome. It's going to be the same thing. It always happens in the end time. He says, and then they took Jesus and they put him on trial. And then he preaches, what shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? Because the same Jesus is on the scene in our age. He's not in a body of flesh to redeem his bride now. He's come in the Logos now to bring his bride to a place and he's going to take her to the wedding supper to unite with his bride. But it's the same Jesus, just in another form. He says, today, the Protestants are throwing themselves together in the ecumenical council. What does it do? It's making an image unto the beast. It's a satellite unto Rome. When the ecumenical council is forcing, it will force every Protestant denomination into it. We haven't got there yet. I'm sure we all agree. There's not yet a forcing it. Everybody has to join them. Most of them are just joining because of the spirit of Antichrist, which is leading them in, like the prophet says, back to the mother Rome once again. But there's no forcing yet. He says, and it's practically there now. But the hour is going to come when they'll have to come or stay out at that time. When that force comes, you've already identified yourself with the mark of the beast. We see the big move set up now. Satan's big machinery in order. So what's he doing? It's time now for the setting up of the mechanics. All the mechanics are being set into place. There's an anointing's being released so that all the mechanics, he's putting, bringing the churches together, putting Obama in charge of America, changing the laws, all these different things. It's putting the mechanics, the great machinery in its place. He says, Satan's big machinery set in order. It's got the mechanics. It's only waiting for the dynamics to put it in force. That's why they haven't closed this down yet. That's why the squeeze hasn't yet come. There's no divine authority yet for Satan to do that. Because it's going to take the release of a real anointing upon this mechanics to bring the squeeze, to bring the World Council of Churches to life so that she really starts to manifest who she is. The prophet says that. He says, and then they're waiting for the hour. The big machinery sitting there. Then they can make it and force it and make a law. Listen, Satan's big machine up there ready to move, to crush down. But remember, God's little flock that believes the word, its mechanics is ready too. Can you see what we're in here? We're getting the mechanics right, friends. That's why there's got to be this ministry of the bride. So that you walk with God like Enoch. So that you separate from the world. So you find your calling. You find your place. You find your position. You start to walk under the anointing of the Spirit in your life. You start to know His mind for you. You start to walk in His footsteps that He's ordained for you to walk. It's the individual walk now. That's what it is. But it's putting the mechanics in place. He says it's ready for the dynamics to set it fire with the Holy Ghost. Now you will have that in portion, but there's coming the fullness. That when Satan comes in like a flood and pours out his dynamics upon that machinery he set up, God's going to pour his fullness upon the machinery that he set up. And that's when you're going to find the squeeze and you're going to find the rapture. And there's going to be the third pull, which is the manifestation that brings about that final body change when your body is changed. The prophet says that, he says, listen, God's little flock. He says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Let's read that scripture. It's a blessed scripture. Luke 12, verse 29. Look how Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Because you may look and see, but hey, you know, these economies are going to keep going down. Hey, it's going to get tough. Maybe they're going to close us down as a church. What am I going to do? The scripture answers it. Luke 12:29. Look what Jesus commanded his disciples. It says, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Neither be of a doubtful mind. So he's saying, don't seek what you should eat. Don't seek what you should put on. That's not what you should be seeking at a time like this. We're not seeking like the people in America to store up food and stick it in the attic. We're not doing that. He taught us, don't seek for those things. Verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But what should we seek? Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all of these things shall be added to you. Eat the third pull. Eat the third pull. Seek the kingdom of God. And friends, when you don't have food, the food's going to appear. When you can't do it, he's going to do it for you. When you can't move, he's going to move for you. We don't seek for the food and the drink and those things. We don't be of a doubtful mind. You feed upon the body word of the Son of Man, the bread of life, the shout, the message of the hour, the third pool. That's what we're feeding upon. That's what we're feeding. Then he says the next verse, fear not, little flock. Why? Because it's your Father's good pleasure. It pleases God to give you the kingdom. Ah, friends, it pleased him to give you the message of the hour. Why doesn't it please him to give you the rapture? Why? Why is it going to please him to separate you from your denomination? Please him to separate you from your sin. Please him to keep you thus far. And then it's not going to please him anymore for you to see the body change. For you to be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. If it pleased him all along, it's still going to please him then. So what is he asking us to do? Don't seek these things that the heathen seek after. Don't be of a doubtful mind, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You sisters can seek the kingdom of God. You have your ministry, you have your calling, you have your walk with Christ. Pay attention to that. Each of us brothers, we have our own calling. You know what the anointing is. You know how he's trying to teach you to walk faithful under the calling that he called you to. That's what you seek now. You seek to be faithful in your individual calling so that you can learn to walk with God like Enoch in your particular situation. That's what we're in now, that ministry of the bride. That's what we're called to do at this kind of a time. So fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He then continues on. All is written in the book will escape it. The prophet says, sorry, this is the prophet now, still in that message. What shall we do with Jesus called Christ? He's speaking about when that time comes. Because it's going to come a squeeze to Israel in the great tribulation. But look in Daniel chapter 12. Just to remind ourselves of the scriptures. What does it say when the squeeze comes to Israel? When the covenant is broken and Rome comes against them. Right at the end, when the bride's already gone, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, at that time shall Michael stand up. That's the king. Here's the king with his sword once again. But he's coming for his other children. He's coming for Israel, the 144,000. The same Michael that rises up on behalf of the Gentiles and comes down with an open book. It's the same Michael that goes to them under their eagle anointing, Moses and Elijah. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. Are you written in the book? You're going to be delivered. Because everyone is written in the book is delivered. And what is the first proof of that? He delivered you from the denominational systems. And he brought you under the message of the hour. Because your name was written in the book. And my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. It's because we're written in the book. That's why he says, the prophet, all that is written in the book will escape it. Now we find out the little flock is ready for the dynamics to move it up into the skies. Hallelujah. to escape all of this tribulation. Friends, that's God's grace to us. So what should you do? You be faithful. You be faithful on a daily basis. God has called you for a purpose. Your name was written in the book for a purpose. That name represents a manifestation of something. A ministry of something, no matter how simple it may be as a brother or a sister. But every single one of us, you've got to see the manifestation of your name. You've got to see your name under the seals. And then what that name spoke of you has got to be manifest. Now that's very individual. You can't do that for me. I can't do that for you. We can minister to one another. We can fellowship with one another. We can encourage one another. But this is a very individual thing. You've got to make your calling and election sure. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling like the Bible says. You must watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You must redeem the time, for the days are evil. No one else can do that for you. And friends, keep feeding on the third pool. Keep feeding on the message of the hour. Stay under that anointing. Keep putting that bread of life in your soul. You're storing up all of these mechanics. You've seen it in part in times in your life where there's been that manifestation to quicken you out of certain situations. But now he's speaking about moving up into the skies to escape these things. Now just to reinforce it, look what he says in Turn on the Light, 1964 Phoenix. What's the matter with this church age that we're living in today? Can't you see it? God declaring it in the skies. Amen. The cloud, the moon when the Pope went to Jerusalem. See, the Pope's pointing to those things. Declaring it in his word. So what was happening in the skies corresponded to what was spoken of in the word. Declaring it on the paper. So get your newspaper. I'm not saying you should get the newspaper these days because it's not a lot of good things, but find your news in the cleanest way that you possibly can. Amen. Declaring it amongst the people. Can you open your eyes and see the hour? This is the light of the hour. Ah, friends, this is the light of the hour. Watch the great ecumenical move. See how he points to it again? It's going into this council up there now, forming an image of the beast. Revelation 17 said it would do that. The forcing hour has come. You know, a prophet always speaks ahead of time. But the prophet, he could see where it was leading to, the image of the beast. It's bring it up to the squeeze. The forcing hour has come. Now is the time to rise and trim your lamps and shine with the gospel of Jesus Christ and his power. That's our commission at this time. Then in God's word calls for total separation. He says, speaks of the five times of the third pull. Then he says, but the last thing was to be a great thing would take place. We've been watching for it for years. This is 1964. And we all know when it happened first with the squirrels. When a creation came into existence. The third time, the fourth time, last time I told you about the fifth time. You had just spoken about Sister Mita and the tumor. And it's waiting for this council of churches when it unites in the Protestants. Can you see? Every time he brings it the same. It's not saying you can't have the third pull now, isn't it? You can. But it's speaking about this great manifestation. Because this manifestation is in response to something. That when Satan comes in like a flood, God raises a standard to meet him. That's what it's been stored up finally for. He says, if I speak on Sunday morning, that's what I want to speak on. Then, when this gets together, you're speaking about here, the image of the beast. Then the Spirit of God always raises a standard against them, you see. You know, so in the big picture. But now, the sobering thing about here, the third pull, is the message. Does anybody know the message where the prophet speaks about the third pull far more than any other message? No. Souls that are in prison now. He speaks of the third pull, I think 20 times or so in that message, far more than any other message. Souls that are in prison now. Because when this final manifestation of the third pull comes, it's to the lost. Amen. That's when the doors are already closed. Amen. And that's how you find the prophet is so sober in that message, because he had seen in J.C. Penney that vision of hell was now on earth. And he thought, but no, hey, is the door closed? He says, paragraph 2 of 6, there will be a ministry that will show great wonders. Joel said so. But there'll be no time for redemption. It'll all be over. So that final manifestation will be a witness to the world of who he really is. But it'll be too late when that ministry takes place. He says, because the Lamb has done taking his book and his redeeming is over. And as Jesus first preached and then was rejected, he had his first two pulls. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel to the poor, raised the dead. Then he was rejected. Then he went into the third pull of his ministry. When did the third pull take place in Jesus' ministry? When the earth shook and the graves were opened. And he went down and he preached to those that were lost. Friends, that's when the third pull happened in Jesus' ministry. There had been phases of the third pull. He had spoken to the fig tree. He had spoken to the storm. The third pull had identified itself among them. But the final stage of the third full ministry was to the lost. When he went down and he preached to those that were in the regions of the lost that repented not in the days of Noah. They couldn't be saved. It was a message of condemnation to them. To tell them you should have believed that message in your day of Noah. Amen. Friends, you don't want to be in that position at that kind of time. Amen. Brother Will was saying about at the prayer meeting for the youth yesterday, speaking about that, be careful. Amen. You don't want to fulfill the scriptures of Judas. Right. You don't want to fulfill the type of Gehazi who was with Elijah. And then what did he do? He got smitten with leprosy. He was rejected because of his behavior under the message of the hour. I don't want to fulfill those types. You don't want to fulfill those types. That's why there's the ministry now. To put the mechanics, to put the things in order. To get the stature of a perfect man. To work upon your nature, your motives, your objectives. To bring about a full new birth in your experience. So that the capstone can come. That's what it's for. He says the redeeming is over. Jesus went and preached and was rejected. Then he went and he haunted those that were in there. Preached to them that were in prison, could not repent. No time for salvation. That same ministry will have to repeat again. My, like in the days of Abraham. What did he do? He came and he showed many mighty manifestations. Yeah, the first, the second pull. Then finally the ministry moved into what stage? The king came down. With a sword. He came to Abraham sitting in the tent door. And he came and he unveiled the word. Amen. Shall I hide from Abraham the things that I do? The cry of Sodom is great. It's reached up unto heaven. I'll go down and see. But it was to the lost. The final ministration, it blinded the eyes of Sodom. There was no redemption for Sodom. It was just to pull Lot and his family out. That's all that it was at that time, which is those that go through the tribulation. We know who those people type, the foolish virgin. The prophet says they could not repent. And the same ministry will have to repeat again. What if this could be the third pull to the eternal lost? He's seen hell opened. He's thinking it's time no more. What if it is? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. God forbid. I've got children. But it sure looks pretty close here. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't yet time then. But it sure looks pretty close the way that it's going now, friends. Amen. There's not much which is redeemable out there anymore. Amen. Friends, the unbelief, Amen. The hatred of the word, the hatred of Christ and his gospel. It's just predestination that will save people in this age now. Amen. Have they done it again? That appearing of the pillar of fire down there at the river. Now we have come to the spot that the third pull will return again to the lost eternally. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth. Find out where we're at. What if it is? And you're still the way that you are. You've finished. Them that's outside. After the book was taken by the Lamb, the sixth seal is revealed. It could be. I hope it isn't. It could be. Now, is that why this third pull has lingered for so long? It's God's salvation, friends. Amen. To bring about that final stage of the third pull, it's God's mercy. It's his long suffering as it was in the days of Noah. It's his patience works salvation, friends. It's really the grace of God. Let's bring it to a close. I'll just show you from this message, new ministry. Just to show how the prophet came to an understanding here of what the third pool really was. I find it really, really interesting. Because the third pool is a progression of a ministry. You see? The prophet says the third pool is the vindication of the ministry. So for you to experience the third pool, it's going to be a vindication that you are who you say that you are.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's a vindication of your ministry, of whatever ministry you've got, whatever calling. Friends, the highest calling is just to be part of the bride. No, sisters look down on themselves, but the prophet says it in so many times. You serve God by serving your husband, your ministries, your children. That's your little church. No, you can witness to your neighbors. You could have a ministry of prayer, ministry of worship, ministry of items, whatever, writing songs. There's so many different things that each and every one of us can do. There must be people that prophesy, people that speak in tongues and interpret tongues. That's all part of ministry. Those that have got a gift of wisdom, gifts of discernment. Wouldn't you want to see more of that ministry? I'd love to see that. That's all stored up in the inheritance for us. But the third pool is the vindication of the ministry. So the prophet, he's reading the scriptures about the third pool. When Jesus now spoke to the fig tree. Yeah? And then he said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and do not doubt, it shall come to pass. And the prophet's troubled. And he's saying, but how can this be? How can a man speak, and God back it up in that kind of way? So it's just like us. Many times we try to overcomplicate things. The prophet was not meaning to, but he was overcomplicating the third pull. He was overcomplicating the spoken word. So then he's sitting there in the woods that day, and he puts his back against the tree, and he has about an hour spare to study. There's no squirrels out that day. He says, let me study that scripture. He says, that scripture came to me. He says, and I started to think. He says, how could that be? That a person can speak to a mountain and the mountain be moved. He says, how can it be? He says, it has to be in the atonement. He says, all of our inheritance as believers, it's because of the atonement. Christ, when he died, he stored our inheritance up for us. And the prophet says, but that was before Christ died. So he's looking at that and he's saying, that's before the atonement. I don't understand. He says, so I started to sit there and I thought, those disciples lived the other side. This is in new ministry. Paragraph 33. He says, those disciples lived the other side of the atonement. The atonement was later, several weeks. Maybe he gave them power the other side of the atonement, like he gave the prophets. Aha. He says, and when I said prophets, something struck me again and said, what were the prophets? And the key started to be given to him. So, oh. Then I began to think of it, about what he did with the prophets. How those prophets, Isaiah, would just get such an anointing upon him. He'd stand up and say, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And his name shall be Emmanuel. And the prophet said, then he'd sit down, the anointing would leave him, he'd feel embarrassed. Say, what did I say? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. That's what he did with the prophets. David's just so down that day. Everything's going wrong. He says, let me write something. I want to write something inspiring for the Lord. There comes such an anointing upon him. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Why art thou so far from the words of my roaring? My hands and my feet, they're pierced, they cast lots for my garments. My ribs, they stick out of me. My tongue sticks to my mouth, like it's dry like a potsherd. I'm compassed about by the strong bulls of Bashan. Ah, friends. And then the anointing leaves him and he says, but what am I saying? Why am I saying these things? Friends. Has that not happened to you?
Amen.
It's happened to me many times.
Amen.
It's happened to all of us many times. That you'll be testifying to something and some anointing comes. You see what's in the heart of the person.
Amen.
That's the third pull.
Yes.
That's what he did with his prophets.
Amen.
Don't put it too far away from you.
Amen.
That's exactly how the prophet started to come to terms with the third pull. He thought, but look how God used the prophets. And something said to me, that's in the atonement. For if a man or a woman is so consecrated and surrendered to God, that God just moves in and uses their voice, it isn't the man speaking, it's God in him that's speaking. Ah, friends, don't put it far away. When you've prayed and God answered your prayer, that wasn't you praying. Because it was God in you that was praying. When you spoke to him and he stood still, that was God in you speaking to the Son. That's why it's an anointing that comes and it brings that manifestation every single... You can't do it yourself. You can't manage, can't impersonate this, the prophet said. I thought, that's right. And something said to me, listen how the prophet, how the Lord now is going to say, this third pull, it's just a continuation of your ministry. So the Lord comes and says to him, how do you see those visions on the platform? So it's the same principle, the same Holy Ghost that's giving him those visions on the platform. It's just a super anointing of that same Holy Ghost. So he says, how do you see those visions? How do you see those visions out here in the wilderness? How did he see them? An anointing came under a divine program and struck his gift, and there was a manifestation in his ministry. Not all of us are called to see visions. Not all of us have that gift in us. But every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has something that he'll manifest himself. When the anointing comes upon you, there's going to be a manifestation. Every single one of us. We've got a ministry to minister to the Lord and his people. How do you see these visions? What is it? Do you think it's your own wisdom that you could predict something that would happen every time to the letter? Do you think it's you speaking? Yeah? Would you think sometimes when the Holy Spirit gets into a message, preaching in the pulpit, he's relating the third pull to preaching in the pulpit. It says when the Holy Ghost gets into a message, yeah? And you don't know what to say, what is it speaking then? It's the third pull. It's the third pull. That's how the prophet says, will the bride have a ministry? He says, yes. It's going on now. It's apostles and prophets and evangelists and the nine spiritual gifts and all that kind of stuff. It's the same thing, but it's under this phase of the third pull. When you don't know what to say, what is it speaking then? What is it when a man will speak with tongues? He's bringing it to the nine spiritual gifts. And he doesn't know anything about it. And what is it that will interpret the same tongue, neither of them knowing anything about it? Friend, is that a man or is that God in a man? Is it the individual or is it the Spirit of the living God? Oh, friends. Any believer here knows the Spirit of the living God. Any believer here who's received the Holy Ghost knows what it is to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. So the third pull is just a continuation of that ministry. Just a continuation of that same ministry. The prophet says, that's true. I see it. It's God that's speaking. And all the church needs is a step closer to him. And more of a consecrated life to live with him. That's all you need. Do we need to fear? Do you need to worry about it? How are we going to manifest the third pull? Just a step closer. And a consecrated life. That's all that it is. Did the prophet manufacture it that day? Was he fasting 40 days for that third pull to come that time? You must fast. Don't get me wrong. You must seek his face. That's all part of your individual calling. But the prophet wasn't seeking for it. It was a progression of his ministry. He was faithful in the first pull. So then it progressed into the second pull. He was faithful under the second pull. It breaks into the third pull. And friends, if we are his bride, if we are under the ministry of the bride, it'll break deeper. It'll break further. We just need to be under an expectation. We just need to be watchful and mindful and expect these things. Because it's our inheritance. It's our portion. He's already vindicated it to us. You've already seen it in your own experience in measure. It's for us, friends, these things. And while I was sitting there just for a moment or two, something, I caught myself talking to someone. And I heard it say, say what you will and it will come to pass. Say what you will. It'll be given to you. And I said, Lord, are you changing my ministry? You see, it's not new. It's just the next change in the ministry. Are you changing my ministry? Is this the change you've been speaking of? Is this what it's coming to? Ah, friends, I like that. Where are we coming to? We're not what we used to be. We've come somewhere. But it's coming to something. And it's been vindicated and identified what it's coming to. So let's quicken our pace. And let's hasten unto the coming of the Lord. Is this what it's coming to? Is this what it'll be? Something I saw in that little house. Remember? The tent vision. Is this it? Just then, a real deep, sweet anointing of the Holy Spirit raised me like off of my feet and said, say what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Now, you can't manufacture that, friends. But that comes in the hour of trial. That comes in the hour of stress. When you can go no farther, that deep, sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost comes and lifts you up. Has it not done it to you before? It's done it, friends. That's the third pull. We know what the third pull is. So he continues on and he speaks about Sister Hattie and different things taking place. And then he goes a bit further and he says, he takes it down in the Moses house, speaking to the Sister Hattie and George Wright and them. And he says, those squirrels were in the most ridiculous place. I wonder if it is that my ministry is fixing to take a change. The God of Abraham is confirming his promise as it did to Abraham. So Abraham's ministry took certain junctions and changes. And God came down at certain times and anointed and revealed certain things that moved him from one place to another. Friend, are you the same as you were a year ago? Have you not moved on in your experience? If you haven't, I'd be worried. I know that I haven't. I've learned a lot of things in the kingdom of God. A lot of painful experiences, yes, but every one necessary. And every one of those things moves your ministry on. As you're faithful with him, as you walk with him, sometimes through the valley, sometimes on the mountaintop, it's coming to something, friends. It's coming to something. He knows what he's doing with us. He says, now, he says, I'm looking forward to the coming of these meetings down in San Jose. Now, when the anointing strikes, ask what you will. That's what it is. I have perfect assurance that when that strikes, and whatever God puts to be asked, it'll be just exactly that way. It has to be, for if you say to this mountain, see, it isn't you speaking, it isn't you, it's God. You're so submitted to God. That's the key. Now, watch the prophets of old. He brings it back. The prophets, when they saw the coming of the Lord, they were so in the Spirit till they spoke as if it was themselves. Friends, does that not happen to you sometimes? You speak something, you don't even know why you said what you said. Amen. You say it to somebody. So why did I say that? Amen. Same as the prophets. They spoke as if it was themselves, but it wasn't themselves. Amen. That anointing had come. They were submissive. It was God speaking through them. Amen. That's what it is. They were so in the Spirit, so they spoke of it as it was themselves. David in Psalm 22, my God, my God. David speaking that as if it was himself. But it was the Spirit of God in him. Christ speaking forth. Oh God. Now look how it links that now. Oh God be praised. Moving into his church. In the fullness of his power. Moving among his people, spreading out his great wings of mercy, may he be praised. Ah, friends, we're living in a wonderful time. We're living in a wonderful time, but Satan wants to get us distracted on other things. If you just recognize our day, recognize your day in its message, it's a wonderful time. Then he starts to pray, the prophet, paragraph 69. He says, oh Lord, we know the quote, I believe the hour is soon coming when the loaves and fishes will be multiplied. There'll come a mark of the beast soon. Can you see how he's linked it back again? There'll come a confederation of churches, and they'll put out a sign, a unionized church, no man can buy or sell, and your church, it won't bother them. Why not? Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The third pull is the fullness of the kingdom. It's the fullness of the word made flesh in you. That's what it is. It's your Father's good pleasure. And your church, it won't bother them. For your Holy Spirit shall lead them and feed them as you did Israel in the wilderness. You are God. Don't let us miss that, Lord. Let us remain faithful. Let us just be true. Oh, friends, that's the conditions. I'll bring it to a close now. He says a couple more after his prayer. He says, oh, brother and sister, do you realize the day that we're living in? The most glorious time. When God of heaven will put among human beings to ask anything you will, and he'll give it to you. He says, it's too deep for my mind. But I hope that my heart can contain as much of it as I can. Now, as far as I know, that's the last thing to happen. I don't know anything else what could be, but just to give to human beings, ask anything you desire, no matter what it is, just ask it. Hallelujah. It'll be given to you. Ah, friends, that's the king's sword. Amen. That's the king giving you his sword. Amen. Say, ask what you will. Amen. Anything that you will. That's the last thing. Friends, we're living in a glorious time. And he goes on and he speaks about it. And then after that comes what? There comes the earthquake, friends. There comes the body change. There comes the catching away. But on earth, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a collapse. The beast and the economy of the beast, they rise up. All that these blood moons and all of these things that have been signifying, that's when you see the fullness now. Then the economy completely collapses. And the beast, the incarnate, Satan incarnate, steps on the scene. And he's got a plan to set it right. And then he persecutes the foolish virgin. Then he goes against Israel, but there's Moses and Elijah. And then there's a time of trouble such as never been upon the earth until that time. Oh, friends, what a day of contrast. He's given us his kingdom. Amen. Just when the kingdom of darkness is coming in its fullness, he's given us his kingdom in the fullness. Amen. Just when the people are perfecting their ministries of darkness, like Obama and them, fulfilling their ministries right to the full. What about us fulfilling our ministries, friends? Amen. We need to rise and shine. We need to shine with his glory. Amen. We need to worship him, friends. Because it was his good pleasure to give us this kingdom. Let's stand, let's worship the Lord's saints. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, a time of prayer. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, if that anointing comes on you, you speak and see what God will do for you. How wonderful that it is. Let's sing, Nations Are Breaking. Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days are numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the I'm longing for true day. redemption is here. Heaven's powers are shaking,
oh,
and many are mistaking. God's meaning to be
on the side.
God's church is the
power. Oh, it's the power
shaking.
It's our
oh, day of redemption.
So glad Jesus loved me. Aren't you glad? Our friends, what a difference he made. Think of when he came into your life. What a change that it made. And so many of your friends and so many people, good people, they just keep marching on to destruction. But he came and he called you.
Hallelujah.
And you heard his voice, and then he revealed himself to you. He came in a spiritual manifestation, showed himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then he sanctified you. Then he filled you. Then he set your feet upon a rock. Set your path on an upward way. Our friends, it's grace. It's nothing that we did in ourselves.
Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus loved me.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he cares. Let's sing that song.
I don't know why.
What?
Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he cares.
I don't know.
I don't know what he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he
did. I don't know why.
I don't know why
Jesus loves me.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. So glad he did.
He left his mighty throne.
He left his mighty throne in glory.
Oh,
to bring to us redemption story.
When he died, but he rose again.
Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Well, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life.
Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
Where would I be this day? Where would I be?
Christ has died. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he died. I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loves you.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know why Jesus loves me.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
So glad he did. Oh, oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
Let's sing one more, Brother Joe, if you have one a bit slower, Deborah.
My boat of love sails the troubled sea. Oh, whenever there's a wind, you might sail. Oh, I have a special, special friend, but I am afraid. Who watches over me when the breeze turns into? I know
the master of the wind.
I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Oh, sometimes I soar, sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks my soul can find. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, brings me low but never brings me down. I know the master of the wind. I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the wind. He can calm the storm and make the sun shine again. I know.
Master of the way, I know the master of
the way. Let's bow our heads. Eternal life begins at the altar. That's where it begins. If there's anybody here today and you are not a recipient of eternal life, and you know that you're not, you may be like the rich young ruler, you may know a lot about God. You may have a lot of things about his word, but you know that you are not a recipient of eternal life. And you're wanting eternal life to begin in you today. Amen. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to believe that you've got a friend. such a friend. That even when you used to speak evil of him, he still loved you. That even when he saw all of your sins and all of your iniquities and your trespasses and the things that you'd even be ashamed to speak about, he was still willing to go to the cross, to hang between the heavens and the earth, to pay the price for those very sins that put him there. And you wanted to say today, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you in the power of the resurrection. I don't want to know you just as a tradition, but I want to know you. For to know you is life.
Hallelujah.
And you wanted to raise your hand to me and say, Jesus, meet me at my point of need. You know what I need, Jesus? I need you. I don't need anybody else, Lord. I need you. You've come down in a mighty way in this day. You've come down with an open book, Lord. You've manifest yourself so mightily in the midst of such an age of unbelief. Oh, Jesus, I want to know you personally. Forgive me of my sin. I confess my sins unto you. That's your desire. As you'd all pray, you speak to him and you say, Jesus, have mercy upon me, Lord. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me for my trespasses, Lord. And the Bible says, if you call upon his name, you shall be saved. And he says, in your sins and your iniquities, he will remember no more. But he'll wash them in the blood. He'll cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. And you'll be justified as if you had never done it. Whatever other need you have, saints, let's all call upon the name of the Lord this afternoon. Let's put ourselves before him. Let's say, Lord, glorify thy name. Lord, take us deeper, take us further, Lord. Father, let the anointing get deeper, and let it get deeper until we lose ourselves, Lord. Let's all pray. Father, we're giving ourselves.
Jesus, Father, we are grateful, Lord, Father, for this blessed, Father, opportunity, Lord. Father, for Lord to come into your presence, Lord, and Lord, once more, Father, Lord, receive from thee redemptive power, Lord God. Father, knowing indeed, Lord Savior, that Lord, when we gaze even into your perfect law of liberty, Lord, Father, how, Lord, there's a calm and there's a, Lord Savior, stillness within it, Lord. Father, all things make sense, Lord. Father, when we look, Lord, Father, deliver, Lord, that desire, Lord, grace, Lord, to the God. And we are those that didn't make it this way. Father, you grant them the unction, grant them, Lord, the very grace that they require. Lead us, Lord, even as we part. Keep us, Lord, even along the roads, Lord. Protect us, Lord Savior. Let me, Lord Savior. Ready, Lord Savior. Be, Lord, even about, Father, thine business, Lord, to the God. Guide us this very day. Keep us, we pray. Sustain us, Jesus, we ask, Lord. All we desire is more of thee, Father.
Hello, life. Hello, him. How we long to worship you. Hello, life.
Hello, life.
Hello, him.
Hello,
him. How we long. Worship you, Lord, we come to you in worship. Oh, no matter what the circumstance,
no matter the situation,
no matter what the situation.
You.
at the third pool and I have found in time the revelation, the strength I need to keep by His grace. Something keeps holding me. Every day I seek,
and He's been faithfully
to overcome my trials. Something keeps holding me. He's a reality.
He's a reality.
Jesus is holding me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, saints, aren't you glad that He's holding you? Friends, it's not the ship that holds, it's the anchor that holds the ship. Is that not your testimony?
Hallelujah.
It is. You would have given up a long time ago.
Amen.
But He'll never give up on you. Because He keeps holding you. Let's sing one more, bro.
The anchor holds. Though the ship is battered.
Oh, the anchor holds.
The anchor holds. Sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. For the anchor holds in spite of the
storm. For the anchor holds.
The ship is battered. Oh, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face. Long ago, you were brought before the tyrant's throne. I was told that he who spared their lives, if they were enough, would have made him one.
Where the years have come
and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus,
well, we still
lives on. Now our time has come,
oh, to count the lost,
to reject this world.
of the Lamb. We know my strength. With all I am, I will seek to love the needs. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Well, let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to
unto you, oh, saints. It's so good to pledge allegiance to Him, saints. Oh, it's so good to stand when the devil's looking at you and to say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. It doesn't matter what he does. Everything Satan does just works out for your good and for the glory of God. I'm sure you've learned that in your experience. I've learned that myself. Every time he does something, it backfires. God works it out, turns it for good. Let's sing one more, brother George. Let's sing, I bless your name, I bless your name. Amen.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and I, let's pray that night, and in the they began to sing, their bands were loosed. Standing, I bless your name, I bless your name. Hallelujah. Oh, I give you all, I give you praise. Your name, oh, some midnight, oh, if you should find, oh, you in a praise, and in your mind, reach out by faith, defy those chains. Your name, I bless your name. Hallelujah. Oh, you deserve the glory, Lord. I give you all. I give you honor. I give you praise.
You, Lord, I pray.
you be kind enough to come too close for us, bro, in a word of prayer? Thanks, bro. If you have a need before the Lord, let's just raise our hands to the Lord. May His will be done. Amen.
Most precious Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
All signs are pointing to your second coming, O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Every event around us, Lord, are just speeding towards your second coming, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And your bride, O God, this moment, Father, we're just praying, O Lord.
Yes.
That, Father, Lord, you shall set us up, O God.
Amen.
Put our wedding garments on, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Fill our cup with oil, Father, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fill our lamp with oil, O God.
Yes, Lord.
For it's homegoing time, O God.
Hallelujah. Yes,
please, Lord. Ask, Lord, how we pray, Father.
Amen.
Wake us them that are sleeping, O God.
Yes.
For the cry is gone out, O God.
Hallelujah.
We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Be merciful unto us, O God.
Amen.
Any hindrance in our lives, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Any obstacle in our way,
yes,
Father.
Yes,
Lord, be merciful for the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For the Lord, time is far spent, O God.
Hallelujah.
It's home going time, O God.
Amen.
Send forth your spirit into us, I pray,
yes,
thee,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Help us, we pray thee, O God.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, give us the energy, O God.
Hallelujah.
The rapture in faith, we pray, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
For Lord, soon and very soon, O God,
yes, Lord,
we shall be going home, we pray,
Amen.
Father.
Yes.
Oh, what a day, O Father. Indeed, you have already come down into our midst. Mr. God. Lord, more many people don't know what is going on around us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, you have revealed it unto the bride, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Such a precious message, O God. Such a wonderful hour with you, O God.
Amen.
You have fed our souls, O Father.
Jesus.
You have fed our spirit, O God.
Hallelujah.
And as we are living here, Father, Lord,
Amen.
Father, we are not stopping praying, Father. May you
Amen.
Go on with us, O God.
Amen.
In our little closet, Father.
Yes.
In our homes, O Lord.
Amen.
In our offices, O God. Help Jesus. Us to pray on, O Father.
Hallelujah.
Help us to press on the battle,
yes,
O God.
Lord.
Fill us with strength, we pray,
Please,
O
Lord.
God. I pray this moment, Father,
yes,
if there be anyone here, Lord,
Amen.
Who doesn't know what is going on around us, Father,
Amen.
If there be
yes,
anyone
Lord.
Here, Father, Lord,
yes, Lord,
who is leaving this place as he came, O God,
oh,
be merciful unto them,
Please,
O God,
Father,
and
yes,
touch Jesus them, I pray,
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
Oh,
yes,
Lord, God of heaven, Lord, let us not live here as
Amen.
We came, O God.
Yes,
let us live here being a change before, yes. Father, Lord,
Hallelujah.
Getting ready to go home, O God.
Amen.
I pray for your anointing this hour.
Yes.
May you refill all your minister, Father.
Hallelujah.
May you strengthen
yes,
him, O God.
Please,
May you lead him to deeper truth, O God.
Hallelujah.
May you feel power from on high, O God.
Anytime
you
yes,
stand behind
Hallelujah.
The back, O God,
yes,
you shall take him off, Father.
So
and your spirit shall lead him, O God.
Yes,
and you shall praise through for them.
Hallelujah.
Your spiritual realm, O God.
Amen.
To bring down your oracles unto us,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
We thank you so much, Father.
Amen.
We commit the day and the rest of the week into
Amen.
Your hands,
yes,
O God.
Lord.
May you be with us throughout the week, O God.
Yes,
May
Lord.
You hold our hands up, Father.
Amen.
May you open our eyes like an eagle, O God.
Amen.
May we see what is going on around us, O God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we shall be alert, O Father.
Yes,
we bless your name, O God.
We bless
Help us, Lord, as we come back here again on Wednesday, Father.
Please, Lord.
Put us on the edge, Lord.
Amen.
Set us on fire, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Let our heart be burning, O God.
Yes.
And be yearning for more of you in our life, Lord.
Amen.
And when we come here
yes,
for the Lord, God,
yes, Lord.
We shall meet you once again, Father.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord. Bless
Thank
all of
Lord.
Us, we pray thee, Father.
In
Jesus Christ,
name.
We pray with us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Saints, let's dismiss with that song. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. In these, the closing days of time. Does it make you fear? Like Brother Mike was praying, don't leave this place if you still fear His coming. The Bible says, for all them that love His appearing. Now, if your soul is right with Him, you long for Him to come. You long to say, oh Lord, take us from this place. It's a blessed thing. Let's sing that song as we dismiss.
It's the closing days of time.
The closing day of time.
Watch your